I want you to turn with me to Psalms 92, and let's look at the latter part of verse 10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Say it aloud with me. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I want to talk to you about that wonderful anointing of fresh oil. There's something about, call it what you want to, charismatic, Pentecostal, New Testament, full gospel, whatever. There's all kinds of things that we're called. But if we're really what they call us, we're all about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're all about. We may not always exemplify that in everything that we do and in every way, but basically that's who we are and that's where we're coming from. That's where our singing is coming from. That's where our testifying has come from. It's all about the anointing of fresh oil. Fresh oil anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I believe with all of my heart that we're in a day when you can't afford. You know, American Express says, don't leave home without your card. Don't leave home without it. Let me tell you, you better adopt that very same thing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave home without it. Don't go away without that fresh touch of God in your life. I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not saved. I'm talking about the anointing makes the difference. The anointing makes the difference. I was looking at my speedometer and I'd had to make a trip out of town, a few hundred miles. And it pushed it on over to where I was overdue for an oil change. And so, everybody's busy on vacation, whatever. It's kind of a busy time for everyone. I appreciate everyone that helps me in those kind of times, but it was just one of those days when it was do it myself. So I was doing it myself. And as I was sitting in the waiting room for a while, reading my Bible, I just began to think of how important fresh oil really is. Fresh oil versus dirty oil. Now, some of you have never been around churches a few years ago. But if you've ever been around smaller churches, kind of out-of-the-way places, there's always a big half-gallon bottle of olive oil hidden in the pulpit among the songbooks and all the notes and all the things that have been there for the last Lord knows how many years. And so when it's time to pray for the sick, you pull the cap off and you put it on your finger and you almost go under the power yourself. Because what has not happened in that church for a long time is to get them some fresh oil. Rancid olive oil. It's worse than castor oil. And you see, as I was sitting there, I was reading my Bible, and this verse, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, it just kept leaping from the pages of God's Word. And for some reason, everything was kind of quiet. And it was a day when there wasn't just a whole lot of business going on, so I had some space and time to myself there for a little while, just reading God's Word. And as I was looking at that, I was thinking about fresh oil or dirty oil. You know, they say that oil doesn't wear out, it gets dirty. Now, I'm not going to go any further with it because I'm not a chemist and I'm not here to argue that point. But you see, fresh oil is cleansed from impurities. Fresh oil wears better. Your car feels better. You know, your car feels better when you wash it. Did you ever see on the back of someone's car a big wash me? It's been a long, long time. You know, you get your car cleaned up, you just feel better. I can't explain it. It's psychological, but you feel better. But when you get your oil changed, your motor says, thank you. I'm going to serve you better. I'm going to take care of you. It runs cooler. It costs more, but it pays more. Costs more to change your oil at the time they say to change it. It protects your investment. I said it protects your investment. I don't know about you, but we not only have a lot invested in what we drive, but I've got a lot invested in my personal walk with God. I've got an investment in my life tonight. I've lived for God more years than I haven't lived for God. I have an investment of years of serving God. I have an investment personally. I have an investment in my marriage. I have an investment in my children, in my grandchildren, in my friends. Thank God for good friends. So many people don't have friends or real friends or not friends for the right reasons. I have an investment in the faithful people of Calvary Cathedral. I know not everyone's on the same level, not everyone feels the same way, but I'll tell you, there's people here even tonight, many people here tonight, that I know you love Joe and I with all of your heart. And I believe you'd do anything within your power to help us if it was in your power to do that. I really believe that. We have an investment in your life, and you have an investment in us. You have an investment in this house, in this church. Not this location, but the body of Christ called Calvary Cathedral International. You have an investment in this church. I'm telling you, I have a big investment in this church. My life for 37 years and Joy's life for 37 years, we have been investing ourselves into this house. Good days, bad days, tornadoes, sunshine, rain, whatever. So when we think of fresh oil or dirty oil, I can't get along these lines without thinking of a staff member that I had many years ago. 99% of you wouldn't even know who I'm talking about. It's been a few years ago. He called me from the Lincoln Mercury House down the street from where our former location was. And he said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He said, my car's broken down. I said, what do you mean? He'd come on our staff, and he had a lovely Lincoln, those two-door, one of those old long, big, long Lincolns. It's a beautiful car, kind of a gold color. And I said, what do you mean? He said, my engine's shot. And I said, what do you mean, man? He said, they say that my oil is as thick as molasses. And it got hot, and my engine froze. I said, how many miles do you have on? He said, I've got 50,000. I said, man, I can't believe that. You've got 50,000? How often have you changed your oil? Oh, he said, Pastor, I never change oil. I just add oil. And he was kind of frugal. That's the word I was looking for. Kind of frugal. And so just whatever quart of oil was on sale, that's what he'd pour in there. So that car was Heinz 57 as far as the crankcase was concerned. Anything that had a name of oil on the can had been poured into his crankcase at some time. Here's the man that had a beautiful car, lovely car, not a reason in the world for that thing to go out. But his oil got hot and broke down, and finally his engine just froze. And at 50,000 miles, he had to put they traded it and took a terrible beating. Just traded and got another car. And you know, you've heard my story about that before, but folks, we're going to have to get wiser. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Good fresh oil. I went in to have my oil changed. They said, this is the brand I want. They said, we don't have that in-house. You know, they buy it in bulk. Buy the best price they can buy. And I don't criticize them for that. But I said, I want my brand. I believe in this brand. I've watched it in church machinery. This is my brand of choice. And he said, it's going to take a while for me to go get it. I said, thank you. I'll go get it myself. And so I went down to an auto parts, and they didn't have the right thing, and so we looked in until we found the right weight, and I came back with my box of oil, and they changed my oil and changed my filter. Now you're preaching ahead of me tonight. If you don't have my brand of oil, I'm going after my brand of oil. Any old quart won't do in my car. Any old quart won't do in the church vans. We still better be using that good oil. I think we are, as far as I know, we are. We're finicky about our machinery. We want it to look good. I get sick and tired of church vans that are beat up and look like they've been whipped with a tire chain. When somebody sees our church vans, I want them to say, somebody cares. We get a dent in them, we take it out. Somebody backs into a tree every once in a while, we straighten it out. You know, when our van goes down the street, I want them to say, somebody in that church cares about things being properly taken care of. You say, what does that have to do with my anointing? Probably very little, but it'll help you in the practical. You see, we need to be anointed with fresh oil. Any old oil won't do. Well, I just dial a preacher. I just dial a church. Any old oil won't do. I know what serves me well as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to stay with what served me well. And if you don't have it, thank you. I'll go down and I'll find it at some auto house and I'll bring it back and let you change it. And I'll pay you to change it. I want the oil that works for me. I want the oil that I have faith in. I want the oil that I've proven, I think, over a period of time. Now, I'm not being eccentric. I'm preaching between the lines if you'll get a hold of what I'm telling you. And if you'll take care of the investment God gave you, God will give you something bigger and God will give you something better. I learned a long time ago, if you don't run them hot and you don't run them low on oil, they'll last you a long time. Just maintain what you have. Where are you going? I'm talking about your anointing. This last week, I had to take care of some business, helping people. And I couldn't tell you the agony that I was going through trying to find. You know, there's an anointing to do business. There's an anointing in handling your personal business. There's an anointing in handling the personal details of your life. I take those things seriously. Words are important. How you say words are important. You can build someone or destroy somebody with words. A word in due season. And I knew that the direction I was going was the right direction. I knew it was the fair direction. I knew it was the godly direction. But I couldn't find the articulation to say it. And the Spirit of God, I appreciate Joy. Joy called me up and left me a message on my cell phone. She said, I'm praying for you, and said some things, and I knew she was praying for me. And so help me, hardly an hour before I had to take care of that business, God brought a conversation back to me, word for word, point for point. And when I rehearsed that conversation, that was it. Yes, I remember. Yes. Yes. Everything's okay. Everything had a smooth flow. Folks, there's a way. There's a way. There's a way when you pray. God will give you words. God will give you wisdom. God will give you insight. We know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. It's not how sharp we are. We're not. It's the Spirit of God within us that makes the difference. The Holy Spirit makes a difference in witnessing. One word can turn somebody off, or a word can turn them on. Oh, God, give us a word in due season. Now, as I look at this Psalm 92 and 10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I covet the touch, the anointing, the enabling, the empowering, the wisdom, the understanding, the ability of the Holy Spirit of God more than anything on the face of this earth outside of my salvation through Christ. Wisdom is the principal thing. Don't leave home without it. God, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. Never will forget, in just a matter of hours, when God began to work on me and put the idea of where we are now. And it's just like, wow, yeah, oh, okay, yeah, I see. Folks, God has breakthroughs for you tonight. God knows your business better than you know your business. God knows your property better than you know your property. God knows your husband better than you know your husband. God knows your wife, your children, your grandchildren. I've seen people that had to go before judges and go before courts. And I mean impossible situations. And they trusted God and they cast themselves upon the mercy and the wisdom of God. And God gave them favor. God gave them favor. We had a staff member a number of years ago when we were just beginning in our outreaches. Was over our children's and our bus ministry. He dropped by, I think it was a year ago, came by to see me and said thank you for believing in me and having confidence in me. Came out of the hippie lifestyle. And one day his wife either called me or came by the house, I don't remember which, and she said, Pastor, she said, I can't explain to you what's happened. I said, what's the matter? She said, my husband's arrested. I said, what do you mean he's arrested? She said something he did while he was on drugs. He with a group of people that had broken into a National Guard armory and stolen some guns. And that's a federal offense. Not a city, that's not a... And that's a federal offense. And they were the type of guns, it was the thing you don't want to do. And he hardly even had memory of something like that happening. God saved him. He walked into the church, had hair down below his hindquarters, had hitchhiked coast to coast, had been on drugs for 2 or 3 years. Minister's son. Came into that revival we had in that post office building, and God saved him and sobered him up. And every day he'd come in with a legal pad and his Bible and just sit on the floor and started writing the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I don't know how far he got, but before he got through writing, it was a number of days and a number of weeks. God gave him his mind back. God gave him his mind back. God completely changed his life. And he worked on the staff of the church and was one of the most valuable staff members we ever had. Had a mind that was fascinating. That mind that was so keen to serve the devil now was more keen to serve God. But somehow, something happened. He didn't even know. Things happened that he didn't even remember. And so my dad was alive then. My dad was an attorney. He wasn't a criminal attorney, but Dad loved James. And he said, I'll help. And I'll never forget. The church prayed. The church fasted. We sought God. I mean, the boy was in trouble. The young man was in trouble. He'd been in trouble. He'd been in trouble a number of times while he was out hitchhiking back and forth from L.A. to Texas and wherever else, stoned and drugged and all the craziness that goes on with the drug culture. And I'll never forget the day we stood in Leo Brewster's court. He's gone on to his reward now. Federal Judge Leo Brewster. And my father stood up to represent James. And when he got through, one or two of us gave a witness. My father shared. The federal judge says, you know, he said, the facts are here. It's obvious that we have the right man. It's obvious that he created a federal offense. It's obvious that he deserves to serve time. But he said, from what I hear in this courtroom today, this isn't the same man that robbed the armory or burglarized the armory. This isn't the same man. And I remember tears of Federal Judge Leo Brewster, tears on his cheeks. And he said, I'm going to stick my neck out today. And young man, I'm going to just put this aside. And if you don't get in trouble, you're okay. If this is truly who you are, we're going to drop all charges. And he said, it's obvious that we don't have the same young man in the courtroom today. It's obvious we don't have the same young man in the courtroom today. It's obvious that this man has had a life-changing experience. Oh, listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God makes the difference. That's why I say it's not where you've been, but it's where you're going. It's not what you've done, but it's what you're doing tonight that counts with God. You see, as we're looking at this anointing in Psalms 92, this fresh oil anointing comes through fresh thanks unto God. You know, the worst thing you can do for yourself is sit there with, do you know the best thing you can do is just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's been hot in Texas. You think it's hot here, honey? Don't miss heaven. Anybody goes to hell from Texas is crazy. Especially in the summertime. But you know, when you begin to praise the Lord, when praise goes up, the anointing comes down. When praise goes up, the anointing comes down. And so he said here in Psalms 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery and upon the harp with a solemn sound. The fresh oil anointing of the Holy Spirit comes through giving thanksgiving and praise unto God. That's why we do it. Secondly, this fresh oil anointing flows in an atmosphere of joy and gladness. Now, sometimes we're kind of quiet. Sometimes we're kind of noisy. Sometimes we get carried away, never too much, really. And sometimes we're just sitting there thinking about it all. We're just sitting and thinking. But did you know, I've discovered one thing, a church is a lot easier to pastor when the oil of gladness is in that church. They give better. They pray better. They act better. They forgive better. You know the folks you have to watch out for? It's those sour folks. It's those get out of my way folks. And here's what the Word of God had to say here in Psalms 92. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. So this fresh oil anointing flows in an atmosphere of joy and gladness. Why do we wait until Christmas to sing joy to the world? The Lord is come. Joy and gladness. I'll never forget when we were at Mayo Clinic. They had a new revelation. Happy people heal faster. Happy people heal faster. Thirdly, this fresh oil anointing of the oil of the Holy Spirit releases God to take care of our enemies. The worst thing you can do is fight your enemies. The best thing you can do for your enemies is to forgive them and pray for them. And are you ready? Bless them. I didn't say blast them. I said bless them. Just turn your enemies over to God. He may bless them real good and he may do something else. I don't know. None of my business what he does. This fresh oil anointing of God releases God. And you know, it's in verses, 7 through 9 right in there. It said when the wicked spring is the grass and when all the workers of iniquity, I'm in Psalms 92, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then in verse 11, mine eye also shall see my desire upon my enemies and mine ears. You know, when you really get in Jesus, your desire for your enemies is to see them get straightened out and forgiven. I mean, when you really get that this fresh oil anointing, it's impossible to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of hate and full of unforgiveness and full of rebellion and strife. It's impossible. I said it's impossible. Tell the person on the side, the preacher said it's impossible. Releases God to fight our enemies. And also, this fresh oil anointing in us shows everyone around us the faithfulness of God. You know what our lives are? We're living epistles. I didn't say living pickles. I said living epistles. I didn't say sour pickles. We're living epistles. Did you ever get around someone you just felt encouraged? You felt warmed? You felt a blessing? You said, man, I'd like to spend more time. Did you ever come away from some folks? You said, oh, God. Is there a deliverance service somewhere where somebody lay hands on me suddenly? Help me, Lord. He said, to show that the Lord is upright. I want the life of Pastor Bob Nichols to show, to be an example, that God is a good God. He's a good God. That He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And there's one that I want to give you. You've got to receive this one. This word flourish is used more than one time in Psalms 92. But notice in verse 12, the righteous, now this fresh oil anointing of God will cause you to flourish in difficult circumstances. I mean, you may be up against it tonight, but it said the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow up like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. That doesn't mean pounds. That means spiritually. In the Old Testament, to be fat was to be blessed. I have a friend that weighs, well, he's got to weigh 350. I mean, he cannot fit in a coach seat on an airplane. I mean, and even in a first class, he still occupies more space than he's supposed to. But when he goes to India, boy, do they respect him, because if you're fat, you're prosperous. That's right. And so they love him there because he's big, and because he's big, that means he's prosperous. Now, notice this. What does this mean? Well, Webster's dictionary, the 1828 dictionary, before they tampered with him, it means to thrive, to grow, to increase and enlarge, to be prosperous, to increase in wealth or honor, to grow in grace and in good works, to be a prosperous state or to grow. When you say the state is flourishing, that means the state is prospering. Now, Strong's Concordance, and I know there's others that give other insights to this, but it means to bud, to sprout, to shoot forth, to bloom, to break out, to break out. Woo, I said to break out, to bud, to blossom, to grow, to break out, to break forth. Whew. Wow. See, this is what I like about the things of God. You can come in here poor, broke. I don't like the word down on your luck, but that's the only thing some people understand. Down on your luck. You can come in here with the barrel on top of you. And if you walk this aisle or somewhere, get born again. Be born again. You say, preacher, preach deep. I'm deeper than some of you handling right now. Give your heart to the Lord completely. I don't mean, well, I'm praying the sinner's prayer, so I'm going to go back, drink and sleep and do whatever I was doing before. My home pastor, for many years when I was a young man growing up, Carl Alcorn, we were part of that memorial service the other day, 88 years of age. He stole a chicken, the man's only chicken, on a cold night. And when he got born again, he went back and made restitution for that chicken that he stole on a cold night. cheated a slot machine in a drugstore and went back to the drugstore and said, I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. God's changed my life. You see, the old timers believed in restitution. Make it right. And he went back to everyone that he could remember that he had wronged or stolen from or done. You know, you can't remember everything you do. But, you know, the things that were outstanding, he went back and he said, I'm now saved. I've given my life to Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me. And you tell me what I owe you. And they said, oh, man, forget it. Anybody that would come back like that, forget money. And I mean, it just went on and on and on. He went everywhere he could go and asked people to forgive him. And made restitution. And served God with all of his heart. Was born again in 1930. Gave his heart to Jesus. Mother Carey. A little woman had a little open air meeting. Invited him to come out. And he walked down the aisle. And gave his heart to Jesus. He came home that night. And tripped over something. And said, Hallelujah! And everybody knew. That Carl Alcorn was something that happened to this man. He didn't cuss it. He didn't lose his temper. He was changed. 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 Oh God, the world needs to see people that are changed. People that don't act like everyone acts in circumstances. Changed. And for all those years, he flourished in the house of God. Oh, you see, when people come in, you get born again, and you make up your mind, I'm going to serve God. Some people, they're in and out, off and on, round and round like a revolving door. But you come in and drive a stake and say, come hell or high water, I will serve God. I don't care what anybody says. I may be in trouble for serving God. I may have to go serve some time for something I did, but I'm going to serve God. And you start taking a tenth of everything that comes through your hands. Just like that little nurse from our church, she told us the other day, she was $46,000 in debt. That's a lot of debt when you're not even 30. School loans, credit. She said they're not credit cards, they're debt cards. And somehow her faith was sparked through the teaching of God's word. She said, I'm coming out of debt. And the people on the job said, how are you going to come out of debt? She said, consistently, everything that comes through my hands, a tenth of it belongs to God. And they laughed at her on the job, said, you'll never get out of debt giving all your money away to a church. She said, I'm giving all my money away, but I'm going to give God what belongs to God. And she told us just a few weeks ago, she said, as of this month, I am completely out of debt. $46,000. I don't know if it took her 2 years. I don't know what. I didn't ask her. I won't go back and say how long. Doesn't make a difference. But completely out of debt. I'm telling you, folks, this is why I believe in a real New Testament church. You can walk down this aisle and you can make fun of it all you want to. But you give your heart to Jesus and say, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to drink what I used to drink. I'm not going to sleep where I used to sleep. I'm not going to lie like I used to lie. I'm not going to cheat like I used to cheat. And you avoid the very appearance of evil. And you may spend some lonely evenings, but all of a sudden, you're going to have the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the mighty angels of God. And when people lift up their hands, you may not understand it, but just say, praise the Lord. Your hand won't fall off. Your arm, praise the Lord. I'm telling you how to flourish. Stay out of everybody's catfight. Stay out of everybody's criticism. I don't care how perfect a church is. Somebody thinks the preacher's crazy and the staff's crazy and half the church is. Maybe we are, but leave us alone. We're enjoying life. It's working. It's a good brand of crazy. Because we're trusting in the Lord. Trusting in God. Hallelujah. We're flourishing. I'm telling you how to flourish. Not to exist. Not to be just another church member. Not to just come in and look good. But I'm telling you how to flourish. You accept Jesus. You trust Him with all of your heart. You start learning how to trust the Lord. Learn the principles of faith. Learn some principles of the Word of God. And don't get involved with cheap church gossip. Do you understand or do you need Greek or Hebrew? Stay out of cheap church gossip. Just leave it alone. Somebody jumped on somebody that's been changed by this church. And I thought, man, if they jump on that person, they are crazy. Because that person knows what they found in this house. And they know how this house has stood with them. And they know how this house has prayed for them and stood against hell and high water. And they're on 2 feet praising God, full of the Holy Ghost and enjoying life today. And somebody had the ignorance to try to come to that person and tell them how crazy I was and how crazy this church was. I thought, man, that is crazy. That is crazy. Just leave that old cheap church gossip alone. It's everywhere. But just pass on by. Let me give you a good report. Have you heard the latest? Jesus is Lord. Have you heard the latest? Oh, He's forgiven every sin. Have you heard the latest? Yeah, God brings churches through tornadoes. Have you heard the latest? Oh, hallelujah. Give a good report. Give a good report. Give a good report. There's nothing that'll squelch a bad report like a good report. Hallelujah. Every time Paul got a chance, he said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was going down that road and this light shined from heaven. And he began to tell over and over again, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I'll tell you, the biggest waste of your time is to yang, little old cheap petty stuff. Oh, talk about the big stuff. Stay with the big ticket stuff. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a deliverer. Jesus will restore your life. The wisdom of the ancients is on the bar stools, but they don't know anything.
I tell you what I think about that.
Give me another beer. Just talking heads and chatter. I tell you what, the best way to stay happily saved is just several times that they said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not in hell. Thank you, Jesus, I'm not under the jail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a healthy body. Thank you, Jesus, for 2 legs to come into church with tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Flourishing in the house of the Lord. Flourishing. I'll tell you what, I'd rather sit in this place tonight flat broke, not knowing where my next dime's coming from, not knowing what tomorrow's going to hold, but know that I'm born again, that every sin is forgiven, that I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, if I draw my last breath on this earth tonight, I'm drawing my next breath in heaven. Hey, that's real riches. That's prosperity. But the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Let me tell you about the palm tree. Have you ever seen those hurricanes? Have you ever seen those palm trees almost bend over to the ground? How many have seen that? Those clips on newscast and CNN. Down in Florida and hurricane in the islands. Those big old palm trees, man, sometimes they just kiss the earth. But when the pressure of the wind is off, they're right back in place. That's the way a believer who is established in God is. Let the winds blow. Let the hurricane howl. Let the force of hell come against us. And we may be bent over and wonder if we'll ever get upright again. But back off, Satan. And when you do, we'll be standing like a cedar in Lebanon. You know what a cedar in Lebanon? There's not many of them left because they've burned the land and but did you know that a cedar in Lebanon was known to grow on a mountainside straight up? I can look across a pond from our back and you see some of those cedar trees. They're not cedars of Lebanon. They grow out kind of like, well, they're growing. They're alive. But do you know a cedar of Lebanon is known? You can put it on a mountain when they were growing in Lebanon and that cedar would go straight up. Everybody may be crooked where you work, but you can be straight up. Everybody may be crooked in your neighborhood, but you can be straight up. You can grow straight and tall. Everybody may be a liar in your neighborhood, but you can tell the truth. Everybody may be a cheat that you used to know in the old crowd, but you're cedar of Lebanon. You don't have to be what anybody else is. Just be what Jesus died on the cross for you to be. The righteous shall flourish. They're going to bud. They're going to bloom. They're going to grow. They're going to break out. They're going to break forth. Praise God. They're going to spring out. They're going to spring forth. Sounds like chains to me, like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. You know, some people are planted here until somebody criticizes. And they're gone. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm very much aware of that. But I'm going to tell you what. I've seen it for 37 years. Those that are planted in this house, God blesses them. And God will bring you through. Just let your roots go down and let your faith go up. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I got a letter from Dick Mills the other day. 80 years of age. He's headed for Nigeria to be over there for 30 or 60, 90 days. 80 years old. We were flying back from Uganda. And I looked over the cabin, and there was Dick Mills on the other side of the airplane. In the middle of the night, had the light on, had his computer going, in the Word of God. He's about 78, something like that. I mean, not that it's that old, but I'm going to tell you, travel will weary the flesh. I just got a letter the other day, 80 years old, 80 years old. Lester Sumrall was 84 years old, traveling all over the world. Folks, I'm glad that God's let me see some folks that are not as young as they used to be, that have almost more energy than some young people. I mean, man, some young people just, you know, just, man. What's up, man? Dad Hagin's, what, 83? Oral Roberts, what, 83, 82? I mean, God has left some folks out there to say, hey, you may be old, but you're not out. You may be old, but you're not out. Young is an attitude of the heart, of your faith. You can be young and tired. Average number, they're just worn out. They're just worn out, man. They're worn out. 18, they're worn out. Worn out. But the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. What I'm talking about tonight, it's the anointing. It's the anointing that makes the difference. Oh, it's the anointing that makes the difference. Just thinking of something that I had to handle. Didn't know how to handle it. You say, after all the years you've been in the ministry and there's things you don't know how to handle. Oh, there's a lot of things I don't know how to handle. But God does. Just don't freak out when you don't know how to handle something. There's an answer. There's an answer. You young married couples, I'm telling you, God has an answer. Just don't freak out when you don't know how to handle something. Just hold steady. God has an answer. And if you'll just read the Word and pray, all of a sudden, there it is. A word in due season. There's a word in raising your children. There's a word in planning for your future. There's a word for, you know, God. God has ideas that are far beyond our ideas. Our little peanut brains, we think we've got it all figured out. Ear is not heard and eye is not seen. All the things that God has prepared for us. Folks, life's not over. It's just begun. I said, life's not over, it's just begun. Well, I wished I'd known some of this stuff when I was younger. You didn't have enough sense to handle it. Thank God you know it now. Thank God you know it now. Man, I think of things 10 years ago, I didn't have... Thank God God didn't do certain things. I just almost get upset at God. I thought God wasn't doing everything He should. Now, I see that God's way was the best way. And in God's time, everything is perfect. Everything is good. In God's time. In God's time. Caleb, you're not as young as you used to be. Yeah, but give me this mountain. And the young men said, man, that scares me to think about that. That mountain's work. That mountain's giants. Caleb said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. The best is yet to come. But God said to every one of you, the best is yet to come. Your faith is your passport to God's best. Your faith will get you anywhere that's right. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will make a way where there is no way.